Have you ever read a book and felt like it was holding up a mirror to you?
Yeah.
Like it was peering into your soul? Mm. I mean, that's the Book of Kings for you, right?
Yeah.
This deep dive, we're going to be looking at Dr. John Oswald's lectures on Kings.
Okay.
And we're going to try and see what it reveals about biblical history and its role in this grand narrative of the Old Testament.
Yeah. And one of the things that I find most fascinating about this is that Kings, it's not just a history book. It's actually categorized as prophetic literature in the Hebrew Bible.
Wait a minute, prophetic? We're talking kings and kingdoms, battles and betrayals.
Right.
How is that prophetic?
Well, it gets at a fundamental belief, which is that God's actions and his words are intertwined.
Okay.
They reveal his plan through this tapestry of history.
Right.
And unlike the pagan idea of prophecy, where, you know, everything is predetermined,
right,
biblical prophecy is all about the power of choice.
Okay.
That the kings, their decisions directly influence their future and the fate of their people.
So it's not just a dry recounting of this king did this and this king did that.
Yeah.
Right.
You're saying it's a dynamic exploration of cause and effect.
Exactly.
Where obedience to God's covenant or disobedience sets off this chain reaction.
Precisely. And that's where Kings gets really thought-provoking.
Okay.
It grapples with why God's promises seemingly failed.
Okay.
Leading up to the exile.
Which brings us to Chronicles.
Okay.
Both books kind of cover the same historical ground, but from different perspectives, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, Chronicles, it kind of picks up where Kings leaves off, exploring how the people can move forward in faith.
Okay.
Even without a physical kingdom, you know? It's like Kings exposes the problem, the consequences of straying from the covenant.
Right.
While Chronicles offers a way forward, emphasizing that true faith isn't dependent on outward structures.
That's a really fascinating contrast.
Yeah.
Kings is all about the weight of choices, the short-term and the long-term repercussions.
Mm-hmm.
But it also highlights God's incredible patience.
Yeah.
I mean, think about it. The golden calf incident.
Oh, you'd think that would be it. Game over.
You're absolutely right. God could have just wiped the slate clean right then and there.
Yeah.
But instead, he offered them chance after chance for over 1,000 years.
Wow.
The book really paints a picture of divine patience and this enduring mercy, even in the face of repeated failure.
So it's almost like God is saying, I'm not giving up on you.
Right.
Even when you're making really bad choices. And then there's the expensive section on Solomon.
Right.
Like a full 11 chapters.
Yeah.
It seems pretty significant.
It is. And, you know, Solomon's story from extraordinary blessings to his downfall, it serves as this potent warning, right?
Right.
And it's a pattern that we're going to see repeated throughout Kings.
Okay.
This idea that even the most promising beginnings can unravel because of poor choices, and particularly choices that lead us away from God.
So given that, I'm wondering,
yeah,
are there any examples of good kings?
Yeah.
And how does the book structure their stories to convey its message?
Yeah. Well, the book unfolds with a very clear structure. Solomon's reign, the divided kingdom of Israel and Judah, the ministries of Elijah and Elisha, the fall of Israel, and finally Judah standing alone.
Okay.
And yes, there are good kings, but all of them are from Judah, the southern kingdom,
okay,
where the Davidic line continued with that special covenant with God.
Is that a bias towards Judah?
I wouldn't say it's a bias.
Picture?
It's more a consequence of that Davidic covenant, right? Mm. Remember, God promised David an enduring dynasty.
Right.
So the faithfulness of the Davidic kings in Judah stands in contrast to the consistent unfaithfulness up in the north.
Interesting. But even the quote-unquote good kings weren't perfect.
Absolutely not.
They had their own flaws and shortcomings.
Absolutely. Kings avoids presenting any human king as this flawless savior figure. It shows how God can work through flawed individuals who strive for faithfulness.
So it's not about achieving perfection.
Right.
It's about aligning ourselves with God's will, even in the midst of our imperfections.
Yeah.
Do you have any examples of these kinds of flawed but faithful kings?
Sure. You can think about Asa and Jehoshaphat.
Okay.
They weren't perfect, but they provided stability for Judah during those chaotic times in Israel.
Okay.
And then you have Hezekiah, whose faithfulness spared Judah from the Assyrian onslaught that wiped out the northern kingdom.
Right.
And then Josiah, who led a religious revival.
Yeah.
And prepared the people for the impending Babylonian exile.
Okay.
They each played a crucial role in preserving the faith, despite their imperfections.
It's a reminder that God's plan can unfold even in the midst of human weakness and failure.
Yeah.
But ultimately, the book ends on a pretty bleak note.
It does.
Exile, destruction, despair. Is there any glimmer of hope amidst all that darkness?
Well, that's where things take a surprising turn. The final scene offers an unexpected twist.
What?
Jehoiakim, the last king of Judah, is released from prison in Babylon and given a place of honor by the Babylonian king.
What? After all the devastation and captivity, a glimmer of hope emerges.
Exactly. It's a subtle but powerful detail. It shows that God hasn't forgotten his people.
Yeah.
And that line of David hasn't been extinguished.
Right.
The future remains open, pregnant with possibility.
So that completely changes the tone of the ending.
It does.
It's not just tragic. It's like there's this seed of hope for the future.
Exactly. I think that's one of the key messages of Kings.
Yeah.
Even in the darkest moments of history,
yeah,
God's faithfulness endures and his purposes will ultimately prevail.
It's like that saying, it's always darkest before the dawn. But, you know, we've talked about how Kings is not just a straightforward history book.
Right.
Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Yeah. You know, Kings is incredibly selective in what it chooses to highlight.
Okay.
For example, you have King Jeroboam II, who ruled for 54 years.
Wow.
Yet Kings only dedicates a handful of verses to him.
That's odd.
It is.
And do you think a reign that long would warrant more attention?
You would, but it all boils down to the book's theological focus. While Jeroboam II might have enjoyed political success, his reign was marked by a departure from God's covenant.
Yeah.
So from the perspective of Kings, his achievements, they're less important than his spiritual failings.
So it's not that the book is ignoring historical facts.
Right.
But it views them through a specific lens.
Yeah.
Prioritizing spiritual significance over maybe political or military achievements.
Precisely. And the details it does include, they're remarkably accurate.
Okay.
Especially when it comes to chronological information. Mm. You know, for a long time, scholars were puzzled by the seemingly jumbled years and regnal dates.
Uh-huh.
But then they discovered this fascinating pattern.
Like an aha moment.
Exactly. It turns out that Judah and Israel used different systems for counting the years of a king's reign.
Interesting.
Judah didn't count a partial year if a king began ruling mid-year and they started the new year in October.
Okay.
Israel, on the other hand, counted partial years and began their new year in April.
So two kings could literally start ruling on the same day. But have like a 4-year difference in their official regnal years?
Absolutely.
That's crazy.
It is. And once you factor in these different systems and the prevalence of co-regencies,
right,
where a son might rule alongside his father for a time,
okay,
the chronology suddenly falls into place.
It's like cracking a secret code.
Exactly. And it just reinforces that idea that the authors of Kings had access to meticulous royal records.
Mm.
They weren't just making things up.
Right.
They were weaving together this narrative that was both historically grounded,
yeah,
and theologically profound.
Now, speaking of authorship,
yeah,
there's this theory that a single person wrote the entire Deuteronomic history, Joshua, Judges, Samuel, and Kings, during the exile.
Right.
What are your thoughts on that?
You know, I tend to disagree with that theory.
Okay.
For one thing, I believe Deuteronomy itself predates the exile by quite a bit.
Okay.
And these four books, while they share some thematic connections,
yep,
they're stylistically and theologically distinct. So it seems more plausible to me that they were compiled and edited by different people over time, all sharing this deep understanding of the covenant,
yeah,
and its implications for Israel's history. So it's more like a tapestry.
It is.
Woven from multiple threads, but coming together to create one unified picture.
That's a great analogy.
And who do you think were the weavers?
Well, you know, Chronicles, specifically it mentions court prophets like Edo as keepers of these records.
Okay.
Now, these prophets, they weren't like court advisors in other ancient cultures.
Right.
Whose primary role was just to flatter the king.
Right. They weren't afraid to speak truth to power.
Exactly. They were more like watchmen observing and recording.
Right.
Always interpreting events through the lens of God's covenant.
It's a reminder that history isn't just this random series of events.
Right.
There's a deeper meaning.
Yeah.
A divine purpose at play.
Absolutely.
So Kings, it challenges us to see our own lives, our choices, our communities through that same lens.
It does. Of purpose and accountability.
Exactly.
We've talked about the good kings and the bad kings.
Yeah.
It's clear that disobedience to the covenant had these dire consequences.
Right.
But is Kings simply a relentless tale of doom and gloom?
Well,
is there any room for humor in this book?
Humor, might not be the most accurate term.
Okay.
But there are definitely moments of irony and satire.
Really?
Yeah. You know, especially the stories of the prophets, Elijah and Elisha.
Okay.
They're full of these darkly comedic encounters with the kings and priests of Israel who have abandoned the true God.
Give me an example.
Well, think about the story where the prophet Elijah challenges the prophets of Baal to a showdown on Mount Carmel, right?
Okay.
And he just mocks them mercilessly as they try to get their God to send fire from heaven.
Yeah.
Even suggesting that Baal might be, you know, on a journey or relieving himself.
It sounds like he's using humor as a weapon.
He is.
To expose the absurdity of their idolatry.
Precisely. And in those moments, you glimpse this righteous anger. Hmm. This frustration with those who have turned away from God. It's not just this dry theological discourse, right?
Yeah.
It's this passionate plea for the people to return to the covenant.
So that adds another dimension to our understanding of kings.
Yeah.
It shows the prophet's humanity.
It does.
Their unwavering commitment to calling the people back to God.
Absolutely. And it sets the stage for the dramatic events that unfold as the consequences of disobedience come to a head.
So we've got these kings, good and bad, making choices that shape the destiny of their people.
Right.
But what about the average person?
Yeah.
How did all this political and religious upheaval impact their daily lives?
That's a crucial question.
Yeah.
You know, while Kings doesn't give us a ton of detail about the lives of ordinary people, we can glean a lot from the broader context, you know?
Okay.
Imagine living in a time of constant political instability with shifting alliances, coups, even civil wars.
It sounds chaotic and terrifying.
It certainly was for many.
Yeah.
You know, the book highlights this social and economic fallout from disobedience to the covenant.
Okay.
You see these cycles of prosperity followed by famine,
war,
and oppression.
It's like this cautionary tale about the fragility of peace and stability.
Yeah.
Reminding us that societal well-being is intertwined with spiritual faithfulness.
Exactly. It underscores that idea that our choices, both individually and collectively, have ripple effects that extend far beyond ourselves.
So we've come full circle to this overarching theme of kings.
Yeah.
The profound consequences of choices.
Yeah.
It's not just about abstract theological concepts. It's about real world impact on individuals.
Right.
On communities.
Yeah.
On entire nations.
Exactly. And I think that's one of the reasons why Kings continues to resonate
with
leaders today, right? We all face choices, big and small, that shape our lives and the lives of those around us.
We're all kind of living out our own versions of Kings.
In a way, yes, we're all part of this drama.
Right.
This ongoing drama of human choices and divine consequences.
Right. But Kings also offers us hope, right?
It does.
It reminds us that even when we make mistakes, even when we stray, God's mercy and grace are always available.
Absolutely. It's like that glimmer of hope we see in that final scene with Jehoiakim released from prison and given a place of honor.
Right.
Even in the midst of judgment.
Yeah.
There's possibility for redemption.
That's a really powerful takeaway.
Yeah.
Kings is a book that challenges us. It inspires us. And ultimately, it points us towards this deeper understanding of God's purposes in the world.
It does.
It invites us to look at our own choices.
Yeah.
To seek wisdom and guidance.
Right.
And to live lives that reflect this covenant of love and faithfulness that God has made with us.
I agree.
So if even the darkest periods of history hold these seeds of hope, how might that knowledge shape our understanding of our own choices and the future that awaits us?
Mm.
That's something to think about as we conclude our deep dive into the Book of Kings. So we've been exploring this idea that Kings, it's not just a history book. It's more like a theological interpretation of history.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lens through which we can view these choices and consequences, really shaping a nation.
Yeah, it's like the authors of Kings are saying, here's what happened, but here's why it mattered. And that why it's deeply rooted in their understanding of God's covenant with Israel.
And you know, it's fascinating because the book doesn't shy away from portraying the complexities of leadership.
Yeah.
You see these good kings making bad choices. You even see bad kings having these moments of like surprising insight.
Exactly. Kings avoids presenting these simplistic heroes and villains.
Right.
Instead, it grapples with this reality that even those chosen by God are flawed human beings.
Yeah.
Capable of great faithfulness and terrible mistakes.
And it really makes me think about that tension between human free will and God's sovereignty. If God is in control, how much agency do these kings actually have?
Yeah.
Is it all preordained?
Right.
Or do their choices really matter?
That's a question that, you know, theologians have wrestled with for centuries.
Right.
And Kings, it doesn't offer a neat and tidy answer, but it presents this nuanced perspective.
Okay.
It acknowledges that reality of human choice. These kings are constantly making decisions
right.
that have profound consequences.
Yeah.
But it also affirms God's overarching purpose
right.
and his ability to work through even the most flawed individuals
yeah.
to achieve his will.
So it's not either. It's like this both hand.
Yeah.
Human freedom and divine sovereignty kind of working together in this mysterious and unpredictable way.
Exactly. And that's one of the things that makes Kings so compelling, right?
Yeah.
It doesn't offer these easy answers or simplistic solutions.
Right.
It grapples with the complexities of faith, leadership, human nature.
Right.
In a way that I think resonates with readers across cultures and time periods.
I'm thinking of different perspectives. You know, we talk about those contrasts between Kings and Chronicles.
Yeah.
They cover similar historical ground, but they approach it with different emphasis.
Right. You could say that Kings is more focused on the consequences of disobedience
okay.
leading up to the exile.
Right.
It's the sobering reminder of what happens when people stray from God's covenant.
Just a cautionary tale.
It is.
Warning us against repeating those mistakes.
Right.
But Chronicles seems to offer a more hopeful perspective.
It does.
Focusing on that possibility of renewal and restoration.
Yeah, Chronicles was written after the exile.
Okay.
And it reflects that longing
right.
for a return to God's favor and the reestablishment of a faithful kingdom.
Okay.
It emphasizes God's enduring faithfulness to his covenant, even when his people have been unfaithful.
So it's not just about dwelling on the failures of the past.
Right.
It's about looking forward with hope and rebuilding a future.
It is.
Grounded in God's promises.
Exactly.
Chronicles reminds us that God's grace is always available.
Yeah.
Even when we've strayed.
It is.
It's a message of hope and resilience. It encourages us to learn from the past, but not be bound by it.
Right.
Now, we've been focusing a lot on the kings.
Yeah.
But I'm curious about the impact of all this political and religious turmoil on ordinary people.
Mm.
Does Kings offer any insights into their lives and their experiences?
You know, while Kings focuses primarily on the monarchy,
okay.
it does offer glimpses into the lives of ordinary people
okay.
and their responses to the events unfolding around them.
Okay.
Remember the consequences of the king's choices?
Right.
They ripple outward. They affect all levels of society.
So when the kings were faithful,
yeah.
the people generally prospered.
They did. And when the kings turned away from God, the people suffered.
So it wasn't just an abstract theological debate.
Right.
It had real world consequences.
Yes, it did. Right. Yeah. The book describes these cycles of prosperity and decline, famine and abundance.
Right.
War and peace.
Right.
And these cycles, they're directly linked
yeah.
to the faithfulness or unfaithfulness of the kings.
It paints this vivid picture of how interconnected everything is.
It does.
How the choices of those in power directly impact the well-being of the nation.
Exactly. And it reminds us that leadership,
yeah,
it's a weighty responsibility,
yeah.
one that shouldn't be taken lightly.
Right.
The decisions of leaders, they have far-reaching consequences,
yeah.
shaping not only their own lives, but the lives of countless others.
Earlier, you mentioned that Kings is very selective in what it chooses to highlight.
Right.
It seems to prioritize spiritual significance over maybe just political or military achievements.
Yeah.
Can you give us an example of how that works?
Sure. Remember King Jeroboam II?
Yeah.
He reigned for 54 years, an incredibly long period.
That's a really long time.
It is. Yet Kings devotes only a few verses to him.
That's surprising.
Yeah.
You'd think a king who ruled that long would warrant more attention.
You would, but it's because Jeroboam II, despite his political and military successes,
okay.
he was not a faithful king. He led the northern kingdom of Israel further down this path of idolatry and disobedience.
Mm.
So from the perspective of Kings, his reign, though long,
yeah.
is ultimately viewed as a failure.
So it's not just about how long a king ruled, but how they ruled, their faithfulness to God's covenant. That's the ultimate measure of their success.
Precisely. And this selective focus,
yeah.
it helps to highlight the book's theological message.
Okay.
It's not just a chronological record of events, right?
Right.
It's a commentary
yeah.
on the spiritual state of the nation and the consequences of straying from God's ways.
And this makes me think about the role of the prophets.
Yes.
In shaping the narrative of Kings.
Right.
They weren't just these passive observers.
Right.
They were active participants in Israel's history.
Yes, they were.
Challenging the kings and the people to uphold that covenant.
Absolutely. The prophets were God's spokesmen, his messengers, to a nation that had lost its way.
Right.
They warned of the consequences of disobedience. They called for repentance, and they pointed towards the hope of restoration.
And they weren't afraid to speak truth to power.
No, they weren't.
Even when it meant risking their own safety.
Right. Their voices add this layer of urgency, moral clarity to the book.
And they remind us that we all have a prophetic role to play in our own time.
Ooh,
right?
I do.
We're called to speak truth to power.
Yeah.
To challenge injustice.
Yes.
To call people back to a life of faithfulness.
I agree.
And obedience to God.
I agree.
Now, speaking of prophetic witness, let's talk about Elijah and Elisha.
Yeah.
Their stories are filled with these dramatic encounters,
yeah.
miraculous events,
right.
and even those moments of humor that you mentioned.
Right.
What role do they play in this larger narrative of Kings?
Elijah and Elisha, they're pivotal figures in Kings.
Okay.
They embody that prophetic spirit.
Okay.
Confronting the kings and the people with the consequences of their idolatry and disobedience.
Okay.
They're powerful reminders that God is active in human history.
Right.
That he hears the cries of the oppressed.
Right.
And that he will not tolerate the worship of false gods.
And their stories are often so dramatic.
They are.
They're filled with confrontations,
You're right.
miracles.
Yeah.
Even those moments of humor you mentioned.
Yeah.
Like when Elijah's mocking the prophets of Baal.
Right.
As they're desperately trying to get their God to send fire from heaven.
Exactly. That scene on Mount Carmel.
Right.
It's a classic example.
Yeah.
Of Elijah's boldness and wit.
Right.
He exposes the absurdity of Baal worship.
Yeah.
And he demonstrates the power of the one true God.
Right.
In a way that's both dramatic and unforgettable.
It's a reminder that faith doesn't have to be dull or somber.
No.
It can be infused with passion, humor, even righteous anger when confronting injustice.
Yeah, absolutely. But even with these prophetic interventions,
right.
both Israel and Judah, they eventually fall.
Right. So does that mean the prophets ultimately failed?
You know, that's a question that has troubled readers for centuries.
Right. But I think it's important to remember that success in God's eyes.
Yeah.
It's not always measured by earthly outcomes.
Okay.
The prophets' faithfulness, it was not in vain.
Okay.
They spoke God's truth.
Right.
They called for repentance.
Yeah.
They offered hope, even in the face of impending judgment.
So their message, it continues to speak to us today.
It does.
Reminding us that God is faithful.
He is.
Even when we're not.
Right.
He offers us his grace and mercy.
He does.
Calling us to turn from our wicked ways.
Yeah.
To embrace this life of obedience and faithfulness.
Exactly. The prophet's message.
Yeah.
It's timeless.
Right.
And it transcends that specific historical context.
Right.
In which it was spoken.
Okay.
Their call to repentance, justice, and faithfulness.
Hmm.
It's just as relevant today as it was thousands of years ago.
As we delve deeper into Kings, I'm struck by this recurring theme of covenant.
Mm.
It's not just this legal document. It's a relationship, this bond
yeah.
between God and his people. It's a covenant of love and faithfulness,
mm.
a promise that God will be their God.
Right.
And they will be his people.
And this covenant is at the heart of the book of Kings.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So the king's faithfulness or unfaithfulness to the covenant.
Right.
It's not just a personal matter.
No.
It affects the entire nation.
Exactly. It determines their blessings or their curses, their prosperity or their decline.
Mm.
The kings, they're called to be stewards of the covenant.
Okay.
To lead the people in obedience and faithfulness.
And when they fail to do so,
yeah.
the consequences are dire.
They are.
But even in the midst of judgment,
yeah.
we see these glimpses of hope.
Right.
These reminders that God's love and mercy are always available.
Absolutely. You know, the book of Kings, it's a story of both judgment and grace,
yes.
of human failure and divine faithfulness.
Mm.
And it's a story that challenges us. It convicts us.
Yeah.
And ultimately, it points us towards the hope that is found in God alone.
Wow, what a journey through Kings we've been on. It's really more than just a history book. It's like a profound reflection on leadership and faith and these consequences of our choices that just keep echoing, you know?
Yeah, it really speaks to like the human condition in a way that just transcends time and culture, you know?
Yeah.
We see ourselves reflected in the struggles and the triumphs of these kings and these prophets, and it really challenges us.
Yeah.
To look at our own lives
right.
in light of their experiences.
And it really hit me, this idea that we're all part of a much bigger story,
mm-hmm.
a grand narrative that goes way beyond our individual lives.
Yeah, Kings reminds us that we're not these isolated individuals making decisions in a vacuum, you know?
Yeah.
Our choices have ripple effects, impacting not just our own lives, but the lives of everyone around us, our communities, even future generations.
Yeah, it's sobering, but it's also incredibly empowering.
It is.
It means that even our smallest actions can make a difference, for good or for ill.
Exactly. We are all, in a sense, agents of change, whether we realize it or not.
Yeah.
And Kings challenges us to live intentionally, to consider the impact of our choices.
Yeah.
And to strive to leave a legacy that honors God and blesses others.
It's like that famous quote from William James, "Act as if what you do makes a difference."
Yeah.
It does.
It's so true. And, you know, Kings gives us a framework for understanding what kind of difference our choices can make.
Yeah.
It highlights the importance of aligning our lives with God's will.
Okay.
Of seeking justice.
Right.
Of showing compassion and pursuing righteousness.
You know, speaking of justice and righteousness,
yeah.
one of the things that strikes me about Kings is this unflinching portrayal of the consequences of injustice.
Right.
Particularly the oppression of the poor and the vulnerable.
Yeah, you're right. The book doesn't sugarcoat those harsh realities of life in ancient Israel, you know.
Yeah.
We see those devastating effects of greed and corruption and the abuse of power.
And those effects are often felt most acutely by those who are already marginalized and disadvantaged.
Exactly. Kings reminds us that true justice is about protecting the weak.
Yeah.
Defending the oppressed.
Right.
Ensuring that all people are treated with dignity and respect.
It's a message that resonates so deeply in our own time.
It does.
As we continue to grapple with these issues of inequality and poverty and social injustice.
It does. And it challenges us to look at our own role.
Right.
In perpetuating or challenging systems of oppression.
Right.
It calls us to be advocates for the voiceless.
Yeah.
To stand up for what's right.
Yeah.
And work towards a world where justice and righteousness prevail.
It's a tall order.
It is.
But it's a calling we can't ignore.
We can't. And, you know, Kings gives us hope that such a world is possible.
Okay.
That even amidst, you know, darkness and despair.
Right.
God's light can shine through.
Yeah.
And bring about that transformation.
Earlier, you mentioned that Chronicles offers this more hopeful perspective than Kings, focusing on the possibility of restoration and renewal.
Yeah.
Can you unpack that a bit?
Yeah. You know, Chronicles, it was written after the exile, when the people of Judah had returned to their homeland.
Right.
They were rebuilding their lives, rebuilding their nation.
Okay.
And it reflects that sense of hope and possibility.
Okay.
That belief that God hadn't abandoned them.
Yeah.
Even in their darkest hour.
So it's a message of resilience.
It is.
Of finding hope, even in the midst of loss and devastation.
Exactly. You know, Chronicles reminds us that God's faithfulness endures.
Right.
Even when we are unfaithful.
Yeah.
He's always ready to forgive, to restore, to make all things new.
It really resonates with me, especially as we navigate these challenges and uncertainties of our own time.
Right.
It's a reminder that no matter how bleak things might seem, there's always hope.
There is.
Always that possibility of a new beginning.
Absolutely. And Chronicles encourages us to cling to that hope, to trust in God's promises.
Right.
And to work towards a future where justice, righteousness, and peace will prevail.
We've talked a lot about the Kings and the prophets.
Yeah.
But I'm curious, what are your thoughts on the role of ordinary people in the Book of Kings?
Mm.
Are they just these passive bystanders?
Right.
Or do they have agency in shaping their own destiny?
That's a really interesting question. You know, while Kings focuses primarily on the leadership of the nation, it does offer these glimpses into the lives of everyday people and their responses to the events happening around them.
Right.
You know, we see examples of individuals who remain faithful, even when their leaders strayed.
Right.
We also see people actively participating in the religious and social reforms that were initiated by the good Kings.
So it's not just a top-down narrative. It's like this story about the interplay between the leaders and the followers.
Yeah.
About the choices that individuals are making within the context of their community.
Right. And their nation.
And it suggests that even amidst all of this political and religious upheaval.
Yeah.
Ordinary people still have the power to choose faithfulness.
They do.
To resist injustice.
Yes.
To make a difference right where they are.
Absolutely.
So it's not about waiting for the right leader to come along and fix everything.
It's not.
It's about taking responsibility for our own actions.
Yes.
Working to create a more just and compassionate world, starting right now.
Couldn't agree more. You know, Kings reminds us
that
we're all called to be agents of change.
Right.
To be salt and light in a world that desperately needs hope and healing and transformation.
So as we wrap up this deep dive into Kings, what final thought would you leave our listeners with?
I would encourage them to read Kings not as just a historical account, but as a mirror reflecting their own lives, their own choices, their own relationship with God. It's a book that challenges us to live intentionally, to pursue justice and righteousness, and to trust in the enduring faithfulness of God, even when things are tough.
It's a book that has the power to transform our hearts, our minds, and ultimately our actions.
I agree.
Thanks for joining us on this incredible journey through the Book of Kings.
Well,